Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honour have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Perhaps as we read this psalm together, a couple of questions come to your mind. Two obvious questions would be, what is the new song? And what part do you and I have to play? Or what role and responsibility do we have when it comes to God's judgment, as it's described at the end of the psalm? Well, to try to answer these questions, what is the new song that is spoken about at the beginning of the psalm? Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. This isn't a unique expression in the book of Psalms. This new song is encountered in Psalm 33 and Psalm 40 and Psalm 96 and Psalm 98. And in Psalm 144, as well as here in Psalm 149. And is also mentioned in Isaiah 42 in verse 10. What is this new song? It's obviously not an unknown song, because it is a song that is to be now sung. It's a song that you and I are to sing. What then is his new song? And we maybe find some help in answering this question from Revelation in chapter 14 in verse 3, where it speaks about the redeemed in glory. And it says they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 3. Now that number, 144,000 of who were redeemed out of the earth, if you remember, that was 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. That's not a specific number, but rather it's a symbolic number. It's a complete number. And it represents all the church, the whole church in glory. And we're told this new song is sung by them, and only they were able to sing that song. Only they were equipped to sing that song. Why? Because it's not simply expressing the correct words, but it's expressing the song of praise with experience and with joy and with thanksgiving. It's a song of intimacy. Intimacy with God. And it's a song that unites the church, because collectively and individually they are united with the living God. And to learn this song, to know this song, one must know God. A new song, it's not so much unique and novel lyrics, but rather it is a song which is sung by one who has been born new, one who has a new heart. It's a song that looks forward. And yet it's a song that is to be sung today. In essence, the new song is the gospel in all its glory, sung by the redeemed. And it is your responsibility, and it is my responsibility, to sing forth God's praise in this way. It is your responsibility, and it is my responsibility, to advance the gospel through the proclamation of the praise of God. And that proclamation of the gospel, that sung worship, has two principal effects upon its hearers. And that is either to excite or enrage, to confirm or condemn. Remember the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, where he wrote, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and make us manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" And so the apostle is reflecting what we find here in the psalm, that this declaration of the gospel has two effects. It excites and it enrages. It confirms, it condemns. It's a song of deliverance and a song of destruction. It's the sound of heaven and it is the sound of hell. It's a sound of joy and it's a sound of woe. The language of the psalm is reminiscent, isn't it, of the triumph of the children of Israel as they came through the Red Sea. If you look at verse 3, "Let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp." Do your mind not go back to Miriam, the sister of Moses, as she took up that song, that psalm of praise, and she and the woman danced and rejoiced in what God had done in Exodus 15, in bringing them through that great redemptive event. They passed through the sea on dry land, and it brought life and it brought liberty. And yet, simultaneously, that brought death and destruction to the armies of Egypt. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 speaks of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is a great and a dreadful day. There are these two aspects. Think of the conquest of the promised land under Joshua. And it's a story of triumph, and yet it's also a story of terror as you think of the disturbing image of the destruction of the nations. It wasn't ethnic cleansing. It was ethical. It was moral. It was an expression of God's judgment upon those who had advanced on their sin and rejected all that was to be known of God. It's a disturbing image. The book of Joshua and the cleansing of the land and judgment breaking forth. And it demonstrates the holiness of God, the uncompromised holiness, the absolute holiness that God can't be reconciled, God won't be reconciled with evil. You and I are not to be the literal instruments of judgment as Joshua and his armies were. Reminded in 2 Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what then are the weapons of our warfare? It is this declaring of the gospel, this pronouncing of gospel blessing and gospel cursing, gospel life and gospel death. But friends, we're not to declare that dispassionately, but rather with pleading, with compassion, with tears which flow from a conviction of the significance of what is spoken, of the certainty. And some will be helped, and some will be hardened. But the word spoken is not impotent. It is not redundant. It is not dead. It is not wasted. It does not return void. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" We have the same picture in the book of Revelation of the saints of God sitting upon the thrones of judgment, not as individual arbiters, but rather sitting with Christ and rejoicing in the vindication of the holiness of Christ. Not private revenge, but divine judgment. The great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And yet, the Lord graciously foretells what his judgment will be. There's no ambiguity, there's no uncertainty. It's not hidden. It's not something that will be sprung as a surprise. But in his mercy, he reveals today so that those who hear would be forewarned, that they might realign themselves, no longer live at enmity, provoking God to greater and greater wrath, but rather to seek the mercy of God, to repent. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Friends, don't ever underestimate the significance of the church's worship of God. I know that you might see yourself, or you might see us together, as just a forgotten handful of people, largely irrelevant to the society around us, totally irrelevant to the world around us. Friends, you and I, as part of the worshipping people of God, are heralds of the glory of God in the gospel, of life and of death. And we are not irrelevant. It's not irrelevant, but rather it's of eternal significance. And it's this heralding forth of the gospel, is making known of the way of God. This is the message which overthrows tyrants and breaks down empires and transforms civilizations, which brings liberty and shatters oppression, and which will redound to the glory of God forevermore. this honour have all his saints. This is your honour that God calls you to declare the truth, the great and glorious truth of the gospel, of redemption, of heaven and of hell. And therefore you're to sing with confidence, to sing with a sense of wonder too, that you who were one time enemies are made to be the friends of God. Blessed be his name. Praise ye the Lord.